Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Enjoy a delicious fresh brewed cup of Harvest Ridge Coffee. Drop by your local convenience store, or you can have them deliver it to you at the Radio Ranch like we do here. Your office can enjoy prepackaged, freshly ground Harvest Ridge coffee, or have it at home. However you enjoy your Harvest Ridge coffee, whatever kind of Harvest Ridge style you enjoy, Islander Grog for Quaid, you can have it at Refreshment Services Pepsi. Kate Kimber joins us. She is the new face at the United Way of Adams County, their communications director, and lots of exciting things are happening. But first, let's reintroduce. We met you last month, but let's meet you again. Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, of course. So I actually just moved back to Quincy. I was in St. Louis for about 5 years or so, and I was working as the director of communications and front of house assistant manager at a little restaurant down in Soulard, if you're familiar with that area down in St. Louis. Had a great time, but I'm back and I'm ready. I'm excited.
That is an interesting way to make a living, to be working down in the Soulard area. I bet you have a lot of stories you can tell.
Oh boy, yes.
Especially around St. Patrick's and Mardi Gras time, but that's for another day. Kate Kimber is here because we're going to talk about some events that the United Way is participating in. She represents the United Way of Adams County, but I do know that the United Way of the Mark Twain area is also participating in the world's largest food drive, which is called Stamp Out Hunger, and it is put on by the U.S. Postal System Letter Carriers Union. So please tell us all about this, when, where, how everything happens, because we want to all be involved.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's such a great program. So on Saturday, May 11th, the postal carriers will go around and they will pick up food from just on the regular route. They'll pick up food from mailboxes. So if you're interested in participating, just leave a bag of food, no breakables or glass, just out by your mailbox, and they'll handle the rest. They take it back to the post office, they do a sorting, and then they distribute it to all local food pantries. So all the food donated also stays local, which is the really nice thing about it, because you end up helping out people within your community, especially with summer coming up and the schools. They won't have their, I think some schools still have their lunches, but
it is varied. What's happening in Illinois and Missouri this year is something kind of interesting, because they've realized that summer feeding programs are so beneficial. This year, now Iowa opted not to participate, but Missouri and Illinois, if you're already receiving food stamps or what do they call it, SNAP benefits, you're going to get extra money on your card for June, July, and August to help pay for extra fruits, vegetables, and milk for your family for the summer because your children are home. However, the small amount of money they're putting on the card will not be enough to feed a hungry teenage boy, for sure, or a lot of kids who are going to be out running and playing this summer and building up their muscle activity. So we'll still need this food drive.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very critical.
It's a very critical food drive. Great timing. All of the food stays local, which is really nice. We do our distribution day the 13th, so a bunch of local food pantries will come and they'll pick up all the food. We'll sort it for them. If anyone is interested in volunteering, though, I know that the post office is still looking for volunteers. It's only a 2-hour commitment, and it's on that May 11th. You'll just get a route from them, and they'll send you out to just pick up food with them. It's only a 2-hour thing, and it's really helpful for the community. And we set up these food pantries and shelters for hopefully a successful summer with this food drive.
This is so genius how they came up with this a couple of decades ago, because the letter carriers are going to every home and they're going to every mailbox. And so all you have to do is put a big bag of non-perishable, non-glass breakable food out, and the postal letter carrier will pick it up. Or more importantly, it would be more appropriate to say the volunteers who are following the postal carrier, because the postal carrier still got his big bag of mail.
Oh,
yeah. Or her mail. So this group shadows whether they follow them in their car when they're in their postal truck, or whether they walk with them with a wagon on the route, and then the food is distributed back to the postal truck, then it all goes to the main center in Quincy or Hannibal, and then other volunteers can sort so that one food pantry doesn't only get green beans, you know, that they get a wide variety of things. But what a genius way to do this.
Oh, I think it's wonderful, and it really sets up a lot of local families for success over the summer. It sets them up with nutritious, and they know that there's a food security then, which helps a lot.
And the pantries that are participating, how does the United Way choose?
So they contact us.
Okay.
And they say that they want to participate.
So it's been the same usual suspects for probably for several years. I know that it's interesting because the Salvation Army Food Pantry gets a lot of publicity. Horizons Food Pantry gets a lot of publicity. But the second largest food pantry in Quincy is at St. John's Lutheran Church. And they don't get a lot of publicity, but they certainly serve a lot of people. So all this food will be distributed based on need for the food pantry and based on the food pantry's ability to have the room on their stock their shelves.
Yes.
Kate Kimber, we almost have to have a food drive. We have the Super Food Drive with soup cans in January. We have something that comes out, you know, usually around Thanksgiving time, something around Christmas, something around Mother's Day. We have to keep having regular food drives because these pantry shelves, even though the items are non-perishable, those pantry shelves get bare pretty quick.
Yeah, food just flies off of them, and that's why it's important to, I mean, supply with the non-perishables as well. So that way you set them up for like a long-term success in that aspect.
And the great thing about it is you can put out something a little heavier like, you know, potted meats, canned chicken, because they're not going to have to carry it very far. You know, it's like anything else. You don't want to lug this big, heavy thing, but you just put it out at your front door, and the volunteers that work with the Postal Service and the letter carriers will make sure it gets to the post office and then distributed. I mean, it's a perfect, they're already good at distributing the mail.
Exactly.
Why not distribute the food?
Exactly. They'll handle the rest. So it's a super easy way to participate. All you have to do is leave food out on your doorstep or wherever your mail is collected on Saturday, May 11th, and they'll handle the rest.
Get it out there early in the morning before the postman arrives.
Yep.
Okay. So it's the letter carrier Stamp Out Hunger. It's the largest food drive in the United States. The United Way in Hannibal and the United Way in Quincy are participating. Many small towns are also participating. And all the food that's raised from your postal route stays in your community. So if you're concerned about where the food is going, just ask your letter carrier, hey, are we participating in our community? And what food pantry is benefiting? And they'll be able to tell us.
Yep.
Okay. That's not the only thing going on that the United Way has happening. Tell us more.
So we also have our Day of Caring coming up on June 11th, which is actually also, I found out yesterday, it's National Day of Caring. So what we do is we partner with a lot of local businesses, and they send us volunteers from their staff, which is really cool. They get to do it on their work day, which is a Friday. Everyone loves to get out of office on a Friday, and they do random projects throughout the city. We partner with a bunch of local, it's not even just our local partners that we...
It's not just United Way agencies. It's
yes.
Anybody who needs help.
Yes.
Although United Way agencies usually do participate.
Yes. And they give us a project and we send out volunteers. We'll be out volunteering that day and we'll do whatever project they ask.
I remember one year, a group I was involved with, we spent the day painting inside a Quinada.
Yep.
Sprucing up all the bedroom areas, sprucing up the living room area. We did some patching work one time on some walls in prep for painting at another agency. Some people get their staff vehicles washed.
Yep.
Or the bus washed, or maybe you can help do, there's all different kinds of projects for all different kinds of abilities too, because for some people it's going to be hard to do hard physical labor, but there are plenty of things you can do. Maybe it's just helping them put out their big mailing for the year or something like that. It's unlimited what people will request, and so the most important thing is if you'd like to be part of Day of Caring, first talk to your boss. Maybe your whole group can come, or most of them can come. The other thing is if you just want to be an individual, call the United Way, right?
Yeah. So we do a variety of tasks. And the nice thing about it, too, is a lot of these places, they're so busy all the time. So maybe painting their walls is not the top of their list. Maybe fixing up their garden area is not on the top of their list. I know we go out and we'll... I don't want to say gardening necessarily, but we'll clean
up. Landscaping.
Yeah, we'll do like some landscaping for different areas. We do that at different like Boy Scout, Girl Scout camps. And that's really nice because a lot of their employees and staff, I mean, they're so busy. They don't have the time to go do that. So it's nice that our community can set aside a day that we put aside the time to go out and help these places.
And it might be working at a food pantry. It might be taking inventory somewhere. It might be a huge major project where 20 or 30 people are needed. Or it might be something small that maybe just your family or your friend group. So, you know, don't come with pre-thought out ideas. Come saying, this is my physical ability, this is my availability, this is the group I'd like to work with, and let the United Way pair you, because all these agencies are going to be asking for all this help. We're not really sure exactly what all the help that is needed, but we know that every year on the Day of Caring, hundreds and hundreds of volunteer hours are donated through the United Way.
Yes, and it's a wonderful program too. Prepare for anything. Bring shoes that you don't love and prepare for anything.
You'll probably have a little bit of advance notice what you're going to be doing, but, you know, it's exciting. So not just United Way agencies, but any agency that needs help, you know, the Humane Society. It may be something where all the dogs have to be taken out of the kennel so they can do a major clean or remodeling project. So you've got to walk dogs all day.
Yeah.
And keep the dogs outside or keep the dogs busy while they're redoing that. So sometimes it's amazing the different projects that you can get. How can we get in touch to volunteer for either Stamp Out Hunger on May 11th or the Day of Caring on Friday, June 11th?
So just contact the United Way and we'll get you set up with that. So Reggie is the one kind of coordinating our Stamp Out Hunger event with the post office. So if you call the United Way and you ask for Reggie or me, you can get to the we'll set you up with the post office to sign up for the Stamp Out Hunger. For Day of Caring, I think it might be just through your organization, but I'm not 100% sure. We might make some exceptions if people are really excited to volunteer.
Sure, okay.
So if your organization's interested in volunteering, contact the United Way. If your organization has a project, you can also contact the United Way.
I believe the number is 222-5020?
Yes.
Aren't I good?
Yes, I love that.
I call the United Way a lot. Okay, 222-5020. If you'd like to volunteer, do so in plenty of time before May 11th. And remember, May 11th, the great thing about that is, if you've got a couple of wagons and some kids, they can drag that wagon. You can fill it up with food. When the wagon gets full, you can offload it onto a postal truck. Like I said, it's just a two-hour commitment. The postman has to work longer than 2 hours, but you'll be in shifts helping them. And also the Day of Caring on Friday, June 11th. So call to volunteer. Kate, thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to learn about a big event coming up for first responders right here in Adams County. It's 9:31. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Sam Smith is here. He's an investigator with the Adams County Sheriff's Department. We had an announcement this morning from the sheriff. Please lock your vehicles and don't leave valuable items in. People wonder how their car gets stolen. Well, if you don't lock your car, kids know how to hotwire. So use some caution there, right? And don't leave all your valuable stuff just sitting out where everybody can see it. But Sam's not here today to talk about his job, per se. He's here today to talk about the Adams County Sheriff's Department's Special Response and Corrections Response Team comedy show and dinner. I imagine this is a professional comedian, not you, telling jokes, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
good.
It would be a long night if I was the one up
there. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay. Let's start with first things first. First, Sam, let's meet you. Officer Smith, tell us a little bit about yourself. What attracted you to a job in the Sheriff's Department? And you're an investigator. So I always want to know, what's the big secret to be an investigator? You have to observe things, I'm sure.
Sure. Born and raised here in Quincy. Been at the Sheriff's Office for over 20 years.
You don't even look like you're 20 years old, hardly.
I know. So I've been there, it'll be 21 years this December.
Wow.
Did a majority of my career in our investigative unit, and I'm our team commander for our SWAT team, for our special response team. And, I just always just loved the community. After I graduated college, wanted to move back here, always was interested in law enforcement. I grew up as a kid where my parents didn't really put a filter on what I watched, so I watched a lot of those 1980s cop movies that probably inspired me the wrong
way. Are you feeling lucky today?
Yeah, no doubt. But it landed me here, and I've been here, married, son, and my wife and son. My wife teaches over in Hannibal. My son goes to Denman, and just love the community and love giving back to something that's given me so much.
And the first thing you found out when you became a real police officer was not all crime can be solved in an hour.
Nothing can be solved in an hour. We can't process DNA in 10 minutes. And lots and lots of paperwork. And I will also reiterate, please lock your car doors. Please,
yes.
Please.
Lock.
Yes.
Make yourself safe. You know, don't be an open target.
That's right.
Now, why do you need the money? What is the Adams County Sheriff's Department Special Response and Corrections Response Team? Now, I assume those are two separate groups, one operating outside and one operating inside a prison?
Correct. So basically, it's under the umbrella of the Sheriff's Office. Our Special Response Team, like I said, is, for lack of a better term, our SWAT team. We respond to critical incidents in the community in Adams County. We assist the Quincy Police Department and their team as well. We've had the state police come in and do joint operations with us, like when President Trump was here last summer. But we execute higher-end search warrants in the community, fugitive apprehension. As far as the correction response team, they handle the situations in our new facility, our new jail, unruly inmates, any type of a shakedown situation, things like that.
Okay, so they're part of the sheriff's office, but they're specially trained that if there's an incident inside the jail, that's those special officers are
correct.
Put there to respond.
Correct, yeah. They have a higher level of training. They've been through a state certification. They train on a monthly basis. And also the equipment that we use for both teams is very, very expensive. The county's super generous with providing us what they can, but there are some things that we have to do, events like this, to try to do some fundraising on our own, put some skin in the game.
Because there's a self-protection. Again, you know, everybody says we want to support the police, we want to support the sheriff's department, but the protection, especially when you're in a correctional facility or when you're at a very high intensity, weapons drawn situation, you've got to have a lot of protective gear, a lot of firepower, maybe a drone, maybe a little robot. I mean, what kind of things have you been able to buy because of the fundraising you've done in years past?
Sure. So this is our 11th year of the event. So every year we earmark a specific amount of those funds, percentage-wise, to go towards equipment and training. Training is a huge, huge thing because naturally society is evolving, trends are evolving, and we have to be a step ahead of the game. So we realize a lot of it's de-escalation, less than lethal alternatives. But the training is huge, but the equipment is the really important thing. We have 14 operators on our special response team, and when we equipped them with vests, it was $70,000. Those vests are used, like I said, on those high-end search warrants that, police respond to a call. Things escalate beyond a point where it's safe for them, safe for the person who might have escalated the situation, and for the community. So we'll call our team in, and you want the more expensive equipment at those calls. You don't want something that's going to fail. So that's where the funds come into play.
Okay, so when I was young and we were poor, my mom would take some newspaper and put it in the bottom of my shoe, and there was a hole in it. You don't want newspaper in your bulletproof vest. You definitely want the real thing.
You do not. I'm a firm believer poor people got poor ways, but, so I could probably say I've gotten away with a newspaper a time or two maybe, but, we had an officer several years ago that took around. The Quincy Police Department officer has recently had an individual who is taken around as well. Our situation, that vest saved that officer's life. So, you can't put a premium on that. Those guys are working every single day, our officers, our deputies, our correction staff, our court security staff. So we want to try to provide them with the best tools for them to do a job to protect themselves and go home and see their families, but also protect the community.
My guest today is Sam Smith. He is an investigator with the Adams County Sheriff's Department, 20 years on the job. He's just a baby face. And they're going to have their big event coming up Saturday, May 4th, at the Ambiance. Doors opening at 5. The featured entertainment is Mark Eddy, the guitar rock comic. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into that. So now we know how important it is we raise this money. Now we know what this money is going for. Now we can have a whole lot of fun and feel good about ourselves supporting this special response team, proven and ready fundraiser. Let's head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets. This report is brought to you by Rex Battery. It's 9:40. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. So glad to have Sam Smith here today. He's with the Sheriff's Office and is an investigator there. And we're just talking about SWAT teams and training and $70,000 to buy bulletproof vests for officers. And, of course, this all costs money, and our tax dollars simply cannot provide all that money. So they've been having for the last 11 years kind of a wonderful dinner and comedy show. This year it's on Saturday, May 4th. It starts at 5 at the Ambiance. The primary entertainment is Mark Eddy, who's known as the guitar rock comic. I'm not familiar with him. So I guess he plays music and tells jokes. Would that be how you would describe that?
From what I understand, yeah. He came highly recommended from Greg Hahn, who we had last year. He's been in the community. I know he's done one show here a couple years ago.
So he's not completely unknown to the area.
No, yeah. And from what I've heard, he had rave reviews, and it'll be a good time. It's always a good night.
Let's get you back on the microphone. You moved while we were goofing off.
You got to get right
on top of that microphone. That's
apologize.
Okay. No, you're fine. It's always called the gunner sight. When I tell an officer to stay in that gunner sight, then they're usually pretty good.
Okay.
Just look at my charming visage at all times, Sam Smith.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's talk about how we can get tickets and what kind of night Larry Smith, another special guest, has been described as bad advice from a failed rodeo clown. So I think this is going to be a pretty good night. Talk about, will there be a dinner served? Will there be a cash bar? You know, talk about what kind of crowd you're hoping to get.
Sure. Like I said, this is our 11th year. Every year it's grown. So basically the way the night kicks off, come in, there's a social hour and open bar there at the Ambiance. Patty Terstrip and her staff do a great job of taking care of everybody. After that hour, we kind of have an opening introduction of the ceremonies there and have a dinner. Everybody never heard any complaints about it. Good stuff. And then after the dinner's done, the comedians get up on stage, do their act. There are live auctions, silent auctions, lots of good items, trips to Florida, condo stays. I think we've got some flights to the St. Louis and Chicago area. Cardinal tickets, of course, Cubs tickets. Nobody wants them, but they'll have them. You know, a little bit of everything and anything. And then the baskets are donated from different businesses in the community. I think every restaurant in Quincy supports us, which is great.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to the SWAT team, right? You never know when you might need them.
we try not to use that approach, but everybody in our community is super generous.
Would you like to donate?
Super generous. So, yes, sometimes we got to put the heat on them, I guess.
Yeah, but no, I'm sure. You know, it is interesting. We all say we support. But we'll talk a little bit later about how we can really support. But one of the ways is by coming out to this fun comedy night. Now, this is for grown-ups probably, right? I mean, it's probably fairly clean, but do you want kids there or not?
It's a grown-up event.
Yeah.
As far as the comedians, we've had some that are very colorful. We had Mr. Donnie Baker there a couple years ago, and he was an R and a little bit more. So we started to gear more towards a PG-13, yeah, low R crowd. But it's always a good time. Everybody seems like they have a really fun time at the event. And like I said, Scott Westhouse and his staff there that help us organize the event, they do a great job. And Patty there at the Ambiance, they do a fantastic job for us as well.
It competes this year with Dogwood Festival. Is that always when it's being held on Dogwood Festival weekend? I just don't remember.
So we, you know, COVID.
The trouble is Mother's Day and Dogwood Festival, and now you get into, it's hard.
So COVID kind of threw us for a loop. We used to have the event more in the fall.
Yeah.
And then naturally with the COVID coming in, it shut a lot of things down. So then we looked at different dates and we thought, oh, this is a perfect weekend. Well, now we're kind of seeing a few things too, because everybody has kids. Everybody's kids play sports. Dogwood, but you know what?
Hey, well, Dogwood was nothing for many years. They didn't have much, and
correct.
Now they're trying to revitalize it. Yep. So you're just one more thing to go to.
Come
Dogwood.
To the parade and go to the comedy
go to the
show.
Lego competition there. And, you know, this weekend,
perfect.
Our Dogwood Festival weekend.
We need more hotels. Let's go.
Hey, let's
go. We're packing the place.
Let's we're packing the place, and this is just one of it. How can we get tickets to this event at the Ambiance?
Sure. You can contact anybody at the sheriff's office as far as the number there, 217-277-2200. You can contact VW Fundraising at 217-228-3273. There at VW, you'll speak with Scott Westhouse or Renee. They can get you hooked up with tickets. Or like I said, you can call the sheriff's office, and we can get you in the right direction.
Okay. My guest today is Sam Smith. He is a officer with the Adams County Sheriff's Department and is part of the SWAT team. I did not realize. I mean, I learned something new on the Mary Griffith Show every day, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't know this, but it makes sense. You not only have a SWAT team that goes out into the community, but then you have a special subset that's trained just to quell disturbances in the jail. Since the new jail has been opened, do you feel it's a safer place for inmates and for staff, or have there been disturbances there?
100%. I mean, so again, COVID, that's when we moved in. So ironically enough, we moved from the older facility to the new. The county board was super generous, community super generous with getting us that new facility. The older building was just getting worn out. That new facility, state of the art, helps ensure that our staff are super safe, and also that the inmates are there safe. We have ways where we can isolate individuals, separate individuals. We also have medical staff on site, psych services on site, rehab services for drug and alcohol abuse. So that new facility is really, really a godsend. So this administration under Sheriff Gruten's, the previous administration, along with the county board, worked really, really hard to get that new facility. And we have the new federal inmates that we accept now as well. So it's really, really, it's paying off.
Yeah, let the federal government pay for some of our tax burden here.
100%.
And one thing we have to remember, Officer Smith, is that not everybody who's in the Adams County Jail has been convicted of a crime. Many of them are pretrial. Some have been sentenced. Is there a separation or segregation between pretrial and post-trial as far as you're found guilty and you're serving a sentence as opposed to you're just being held pretrial?
Yeah. And, you know, and last year with the Safety Act coming into play, that's really kind of
not as many people being held.
Yeah, it's flipped law enforcement upside down a little bit. There's things that, you know, 20 years ago when I first started, we would work cases, and some of those people would go see prison sentences, where now just the way that society, like I said earlier, is evolving, things are changing. There's a lot of things that are vetted through the court system where we realize maybe some of those people don't necessarily need to be in jail. Maybe they need to be in a treatment facility. Maybe their crime doesn't meet that burden of having to sit. And maybe they just financially, they're in our jail and they just don't have those funds to bond out. They necessarily don't need to be there. So that taxpayer burden is getting relieved by that. Right, wrong, or indifferent. A lot of people have a lot to say about it. That's its own radio show right there. But
and above your pay grade.
Yeah. I'd say that's fair.
You don't want to get in trouble. He has an opinion, but he may not share it.
There you go. I like that. What I would say is this. We're doing the best we can with the problems that we have in our community and making sure that the people in our community are being treated fairly and handled accordingly.
Well, one of the things that the Safety Act did, and, you know, again, I'm not here to argue that either, and not especially not get in, you know, any kind of debate with you, but one of the things was you could be thrown in jail and held on bond, and the bond could be really relatively low, but not to you. I mean, you know, some people, I mean, if I'm a drug dealer, I could probably get my hands on $10,000 or $20,000. That's part of the reason I've been arrested in the first place, even though I haven't been tried. But if I'm just some Joe Schmo, you know, and I get arrested for something, and maybe I'm even guilty, but it's not a violent crime, and I sit up there in the jail for a long time. So they're reviewing all of this Safety Act stuff, and again, law enforcement has mixed reviews about it, too. Not everybody needs to be even held pretrial. Not everybody needs to be incarcerated if they're found guilty. And that leads me back to something that is on your pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about more and more and more mental health, not only for officers, but especially for people you come in contact with on the street, is a big part of your policing. So you pull up, you know, bulletproof vest, big black thing, scary as all hell, you know, weapons at the ready, not drawn, but at the ready maybe. And this person may be having a mental breakdown that doesn't really make them a violent criminal, but it makes them a threat to themselves and others, especially to you if they have a weapon. Is more and more of the training how to diffuse and giving you, nobody expects you to become a psychiatrist overnight, but giving you some tools, or do you call in? I know Chief Yates has said that they have like Clarity Healthcare and stuff
Correct.
On call to within a reason, you know, not going to send them out there here. Just go out there and talk to them, Susie. We'll be back here with our guns in case you need us. But just to diffuse the situation, how does that work? Give us your perspective from a SWAT team.
Sure. So, I mean, de-escalation is the name of the game now. That is very clearly the direction that we are heading as far as any type of critical situation. And, you know, you brought up a great point. Sometimes people are in crisis, and it could be from anything. It could be from a lifestyle choice. It could be from some type of social issue or whatnot. But we have to handle those situations accordingly. And, you know, a famous saying, when all your problems are nails, the only tool you got is a hammer, maybe that hammer is not the best choice anymore. So if you need to sit there and you need to talk to somebody until you're blue in the face, that's what you're going to do. And if you can't get that that point of contact with them where they feel comfortable with them, we've got to call people in. So, yes, QPD does a great job. They have Clarity Health, and Clarity Health is a godsend for our community. They go out and help QPD out on the street. If they have somebody, they'll do a teleconference right there in their squad car. They come into our jail facility, see our inmates. We're in that new facility. We had no way we could do that. There was no capabilities to safely get Clarity up there and provide those services consistently, where now we can do that. I mean, if they need to come in every day, we can arrange that. We can make those things happen. And mental health is a huge, huge issue. Just because somebody's in crisis and they're having a mental health issue, that doesn't mean they're a criminal. That doesn't mean they're nothing they've done is against the law unless they broke a law. So we want to help them out the best we can and point them in the right direction, get them the services and the help they need. And, from a tactical perspective, that's something that we're super cognizant of as well.
So if it takes a while to talk, the standoff can go on for a very long time. As long as nobody's getting hurt, nobody's in danger of being hurt, you'll continue to talk it out and use force as a last resort. I laugh a little bit because as a news reporter, I come across information sometimes. It's like, well, I wonder what the rest of the story is, as Paul Harvey would say. People who miss their court case because they refuse to come out of their cell. See, if I was a jailer, I wouldn't tolerate that. I'd be like, no, you're coming out, and you're not going to be happy when I come in. No, I'd be. But sometimes, I mean, as obnoxious as that sounds, let them win. Some things just aren't worth fighting over. I mean, they're going to get in more and more trouble.
Sure.
Why risk you getting your head bashed in by them kicking and screaming and biting and spitting? You know, I mean, if you really need to get them out, you can. And my
sure.
friend that's retired from the prison system said, we can do it the easy way or the hard way, but either way, you're coming out.
Correct.
You know, and sometimes you have to bring them out. Other times it's like, look, your court case is due. You need to be escorted. But if you absolutely refuse to go, the consequences are going to get higher and higher. They don't win. It's not a win for them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those situations with our state's attorney's office and our judicial system that they understand that the people that we deal with, like you mentioned previously, if we're dealing with you now and you're in our facility, there's a reason for you to be there. It's been vetted multiple times through our state's attorney, through the officer that made that street arrest, through the judges. And it's one of those situations where sometimes you have to be the police, but you try to find that common ground and talk. Just talk. Try to work your way through those problems.
Lure them out with that slick meat sandwich.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that. You know what? I think that if you would go to the high school, and every high school in Adams County, and serve what they get in jail, you would have very few crime problems because no teenage boy would ever want to commit a crime.
I agree. We're
geniuses. Sam Smith and I have solved the crime problem in Adams County, and we take credit for that. May 4th, get your tickets by calling this number, 217-228-3273, 228-3273, for the comedy night to benefit our special response forces. Glad to meet you under these circumstances, Sam Smith. Hope I never see you when you've got your big black stuff on. Thank you so much for coming by today.
Perfect. Thank you.